All right. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to The Deep Dive.
It's great to be back.
So for anybody just tuning in for the first time,
Yeah.
what we do here is take a deep dive into all those resources you've been sending in.
Yeah.
Extract the good stuff, the insights, the aha moments, the knowledge that really matters.
Absolutely. And today we're lacing up for a deep dive into Shoe Dog,
Oh, yeah.
the memoir by Phil Knight, the man who built
I
Nike.
love this book.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And we know that you send this one in because you're on your own journey, your own entrepreneurial journey, and you're really looking for those lessons, those nuggets of wisdom that can help you build something truly
And
extraordinary.
that's exactly what we're going to uncover today.
Yeah, so let's start at the beginning, right? With that initial spark, that first what if moment.
Right.
Knight talks about this feeling that he had as a runner, this kind of clarity and intensity on the edge of winning or losing, and how he wanted to basically inject that feeling into his everyday life.
Yeah, he even questions whether it was an actual single epiphany or just a gradual realization, you know?
Right.
It's
Yeah.
fascinating how he reflects on that.
So we often romanticize those eureka moments. But Knight's experience suggests that, big ideas can actually come from a bunch of different places, right? A mix of passion and experience, maybe even a little bit of luck.
Absolutely.
It's like those overnight success stories, they were actually years in the making, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder, what drives you? What's that feeling, that goal that keeps you going even when things get tough?
Yeah, it's worth thinking about.
It is.
Because Knight reminds us that the world is built on crazy ideas, right? Things that might have seemed totally outlandish at first,
Yeah.
like books, democracy, even the internet,
Crazy.
all started as ideas that a lot of people just dismissed.
Yeah, they did.
So I'm curious, what's your crazy idea?
Ooh, yeah.
The one that maybe you're a little hesitant to share, but that just keeps nagging at you. Don't be afraid to embrace it. Because Knight certainly did, even if it meant stepping outside of his comfort zone.
Right, and he was living a pretty good life in Hawaii,
Yeah.
right? Like pretty idyllic. But then restlessness set in.
It did.
He realized that comfort can actually be a trap, lead to stagnation.
Yeah, and think about how often that happens in business or even in life.
Right.
We get comfortable, we stop pushing ourselves, we get
Okay.
complacent.
Yeah, and he didn't just like dip his toe in the water.
Yep.
He went all in, bought a one-way ticket, ignored all his friends' doubts,
Yeah.
and just went for it.
That's incredible.
What would it take for you to make that kind of leap?
Yeah.
What comfort zone are you maybe clinging to a little too tightly?
It's a good question to reflect on, for sure.
It is?
And Knight's leap took him to some unexpected lessons,
Oh, yeah.
especially during his time in post-war Japan.
It's a fascinating part of the book.
It is. He was so fascinated by Japanese culture.
Yeah.
You know, he was seeking advice from some savvy ex-GIs on how to navigate the business world there.
Right. And this is where it gets really
Oh,
fascinating.
yeah.
They really stressed the importance of understanding those cultural nuances,
Yeah.
like the soft, sinewy approach to negotiations, right?
Right.
Reading between the lines, respecting the no without actually hearing it.
So crucial,
Yeah.
even in today's globalized world. Think about it.
Yeah.
Every interaction, every deal has its own cultural
It
context.
does.
Are you taking the time to really understand the other side's perspective, their unspoken cues?
It's so important.
It is.
It's like that saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Right.
And Knight clearly cared about understanding Japanese business culture.
He did.
And this led him to Kobe to meet with Onitsuka, the makers of Tiger shoes.
Right.
He was playing the tycoon role, but he was immediately drawn to one specific shoe, the Limber Up.
It's interesting how, even in that very first meeting, we see those signs of his salesmanship emerging.
Yeah.
You know, he focused on the product that he truly believed in, and that became the foundation of their partnership.
Yeah.
So, what's your limber up?
Good question.
What's that one product or service you're most excited to share with the world?
That's a great question to consider.
It is.
And it's amazing how that genuine belief and passion can just attract customers.
Yeah.
Knight talks about people showing up at his parents' house desperate to buy his shoes, even ordering them C.
Wow.
And this was way before social media, targeted ads, all of that.
It's incredible.
It speaks volumes about the power of authenticity.
It does. People can sense when you truly believe in what you're selling.
Yeah,
It's magnetic.
it is.
So, how are you cultivating that level of belief in your own venture?
Ooh.
How are you transmitting that passion to your potential customers?
Because it's contagious, right?
It is.
And speaking of partnerships that can really amplify that passion,
Yeah.
enter Bill Bowerman, Knight's former track coach.
Oh, yeah.
Who is totally obsessed with shoes.
A legend.
Yeah, and he later becomes absolutely crucial to Nike's success.
He does.
But what's really interesting to me here is this pivotal partnership wasn't some calculated business move.
No.
It grew out of a pre-existing relationship, a shared passion.
And that's a powerful reminder that the best collaborators are often already in our lives.
Yeah.
So who in your life shares your vision? Mm. Who could be a valuable partner or mentor on your journey?
Yeah.
Don't underestimate the power of those connections.
Absolutely.
You never know where they might lead.
Right. And as Knight's company, Blue Ribbon Sports, you know, as it starts to take off, we see this incredible resourcefulness.
Yeah.
Like, he relies on his family and friends. You know, his mother bought shoes. His father grudgingly lent support. His wife, Penny, helped with the books.
He's pulling in all the favors.
Yeah. He even took on multiple roles himself.
Yeah.
You know, teaching and doing accounting just to make ends meet.
Classic bootstrapping, right?
Yeah.
It's all about maximizing what you have.
Right.
Even if it means getting creative, even if it's messy.
Yeah.
So are you truly tapping into the resources available to you? What unconventional avenues could you explore?
That's something to think about.
It is, because in those early stages, it's all about hustling and just making things happen.
It is.
It's about that can-do spirit.
Yeah.
That willingness to wear multiple hats, to do whatever it takes to bring your vision to life.
You got to be willing to do it all.
Absolutely. And Knight embodies that spirit throughout his entire journey.
He does. But it's not all smooth sailing from here.
Oh, no.
The challenges keep coming, and Knight has to adapt and evolve to overcome them.
Which is exactly what we'll explore in the next part of our deep dive into Shoe Dog.
Stay tuned to see how Knight navigates the next chapter of his entrepreneurial adventure.
And what valuable lessons we can all glean from his experiences.
All right, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the deep dive.
All right, we're back.
We're right in the thick of it now with Phil Knight and the early days of what would become Nike.
Mm-hmm.
And as we all know, the entrepreneurial journey rarely goes in a straight line.
Never does.
So one of the biggest things Knight grapples with is finding that sweet spot, you know, between growth and stability.
Right.
He's always pushing to expand, taking on larger orders, but his, you know, conservative banker keeps warning him about growing too fast for his equity.
Yeah, it's like that classic dilemma that so many businesses face.
Absolutely.
You need capital to fuel expansion, but rapid growth can put so much strain on your resources.
It's a real balancing act.
Yeah, it's like walking a tightrope.
It really is.
Makes you wonder how many businesses fail because they either grow too slow or too fast.
It's a delicate balance.
It is.
Speaking of finding that balance, Knight brings on his old college buddy, Jeff Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
To sell Tiger shoes full time.
Right.
And Johnson's a force of nature, constantly sending Knight letters.
Or those letters, yeah.
Overflowing with updates and ideas and sales figures.
You can almost feel that energy coming off the page.
You can.
Sounds like he just had that innate talent for sales and marketing.
Absolutely. He becomes this invaluable asset for Blue Ribbon, always pushing for more, always challenging Knight to take those big risks.
I love that.
And it's really interesting to see how their dynamic plays out.
Yeah.
They're both incredibly driven,
yeah,
but they approach things, they approach risk and opportunity from different angles.
Totally different perspectives.
Yeah, it's this constant push and pull.
Like two sides of the same entrepreneurial coin.
It really is.
I love it. And all of this is happening while Knight's juggling a full-time accounting job at Price Waterhouse.
Oh, yeah.
And teaching accounting at Portland State University.
Talk about a side hustle, man.
Seriously. Yeah. He was burning the candle at both ends.
Oh, yeah.
Driven by that crazy idea.
He really was.
And amidst this whirlwind of activity, he meets his future wife, Penny.
Oh, yeah. How about that? Remember how they met?
Yeah, she was a student in his accounting class.
That's right, Miss Parks.
Miss Parks. It's funny how he initially thought she wasn't very bright.
Right.
Because she was so quiet.
Because she was so quiet.
But quiet or not, she clearly had a sharp mind.
She did.
Because Penny ends up playing a crucial role in Blue Ribbon's success.
Oh, absolutely.
Keeping those books organized in those early years.
Crucial.
It's amazing how often the people who have the biggest impact on our lives come from these seemingly ordinary encounters.
It's true.
Their partnership's a real testament to the power of shared values and that common vision.
Imagine how different things would have been if Penny hadn't joined the team.
Wow. Yeah.
It's incredible to think about.
So it's 1968. Knight and Penny get married. Things are moving along. But there's trouble brewing.
Oh.
Onitsuka, the Japanese company making those tiger shoes,
right,
starts having these production problems, shipments are delayed, orders are mixed up.
Oh, no.
And Knight really has very little leverage to fix it.
This is a big lesson right here.
Yeah.
About supply chain management and the importance of diversification.
Right.
Relying on one supplier can be so risky.
Especially with global manufacturing.
It's huge.
And think about how relevant that is today.
Oh, I know it.
In a world where disruptions are just becoming more and more common.
All the time.
Yeah. And Knight's feeling that pressure.
Yeah.
He's at the mercy of the suppliers, his bankers, and his own relentless drive for growth.
That's a lot.
It's a pressure cooker.
It is.
That forces him to start looking for alternatives.
And that leads him to a pretty intriguing opportunity.
Yeah.
A Japanese trading company called Nisho approaches him, eager to partner with Blue Ribbon.
Interesting.
They're this massive organization with these vast resources, and they see the potential in Knight's, you know, scrappy shoe company.
It's almost too good to be true.
It's that age-old question, right? Something seems too good to be true.
It probably is.
It probably is. But in Knight's case, their interest is genuine.
Wow.
They recognize the power of that grow-or-die philosophy.
Yeah.
And they're willing to provide the capital and support that Knight needs to really take the company to that next level.
It's an incredible opportunity.
It is.
But before they can really take off, they need a new name.
A new identity.
A new identity. And that's how that iconic swoosh comes into being.
Oh, yeah.
Knight hires a graphic design student, Carolyn Davidson.
Carolyn Davidson.
Gives her this pretty open-ended assignment.
What was it?
Create something that evokes motion.
Wow.
Can you imagine Nike without that instantly recognizable swoosh?
It's impossible to think about.
And the story of its creation is so simple.
Right.
It reminds us that sometimes the simplest ideas are the most powerful.
They really are.
Davidson presented a number of options, and Knight famously wasn't initially thrilled with the swoosh.
I know, right?
But something about it stuck.
And the rest is history.
And the rest is history. And while all of this is unfolding,
yeah,
Knight's still dealing with these challenges in his relationship with Onitsuka.
Oh, right.
They send a representative, Kitami, to the U.S. to investigate Blue Ribbon, and things get tense.
Oh.
There's suspicion, back and forth maneuvering. It reads like a corporate spy thriller.
It really does. It highlights how competitive the business world can be.
Yeah,
especially when you're disrupting an established industry.
Absolutely.
Onitsuka sees Blue Ribbon as a threat.
Right.
And they're not going to go down without a fight.
It's a battle.
It is. Makes you wonder if some of those biggest companies today feel threatened by the up-and-comers who are challenging the status quo.
For sure.
Yeah.
And as Knight prepares for the launch of Nike, he also becomes a father.
Oh, wow.
His son, Matthew, is born.
Right.
And Knight starts to really contemplate legacy.
That's a big one.
It is. He's built this whole world around sports and business.
Yeah.
But his son doesn't share that same passion.
It's a poignant conflict.
It is. He's poured his heart and soul into this one pursuit.
Yeah.
And now he has to confront the possibility that his son won't follow in his footsteps.
That's tough.
It's a tough lesson for any parent.
It is.
But as Knight navigates these personal challenges,
right,
he's also facing this major business decision.
What is it?
Whether or not to take Nike public.
Huge.
Huge. The company's growing rapidly.
Yeah.
But they're still strapped for cash.
Right.
Going public could give them the capital they need to scale up.
Of course.
But it also means giving up some control.
Which is something Knight really values.
He does. He's built Nike from the ground up.
Yeah.
And the idea of giving up even a small piece of ownership is a tough pill to swallow. It's that classic entrepreneurial dilemma.
It is.
Balancing your personal vision with the realities of building a successful business.
So many businesses face that same crossroads.
They do. Do they stay small and maintain control?
Right.
Or do they take outside funding to grow?
And risk losing some of that control.
It's a tough decision.
It is. There are no easy answers.
But as Knight weighs his options,
yeah,
he realizes that going public might be the only way to ensure Nike's long-term survival.
That's a big realization.
It is. It's a leap of faith, trusting that the vision he's built can thrive, even if he relinquishes some of the reins.
He has to trust his team.
He does. And with their support, he ultimately decides to take that leap. It's not a decision he makes lightly.
Of course not.
But it's a decision that will forever change the course of Nike's history.
Absolutely.
Transforming it from this scrappy startup into a global icon.
Which is exactly what we'll explore in the final part of our deep dive into Shoe Dog.
Stay tuned to see how Knight navigates the challenges and triumphs of building a global brand. Welcome back to The Deep Dive.
We're in the final stretch now of our exploration of Shoe Dog.
We've seen how Phil Knight turned this crazy idea into a successful company.
Yeah, through sheer grit, passion, and a few smart decisions along the way.
But as we all know, the bigger you get, the harder you fall.
That's often the case. And it's 1978. Nike is officially public, but the road ahead is anything but smooth.
Not easy.
One of the biggest things Knight has to face is how to manage that explosive growth
right.
while staying true to the culture that made them unique in the first place.
He was worried about becoming too corporate.
Yeah, too bureaucratic.
Losing that scrappy, innovative spirit that got them there.
It's like trying to bottle lightning.
You need structure as you grow.
You do.
But too much of it can just stifle creativity.
Absolutely. And to combat this, Knight actually instituted these super intense, no-holds-barred meetings.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about these.
They became known as butt faces.
Butt faces. I love it.
So picture this Knight, along with his core team, Waddell, Johnson, Hayes, you know, all the big names.
Yeah.
Hold up in a cabin somewhere in Oregon.
Intent.
Arguing, debating, brainstorming for days on end.
What were some of the key topics they were tackling in those sessions?
Oh, everything was on the table. You know, production bottlenecks.
Right.
Marketing strategies, new product development. Any issue that was crucial to keeping Nike ahead of the competition.
Keeping that edge.
That's it. These meetings were all about aligning the team, making those tough decisions, and preserving that shared sense of purpose.
That's so interesting how those raw, passionate discussions were vital to their success.
They were.
It makes me think of that saying, if you're not arguing, you're not innovating.
So true. And speaking of innovation,
yes.
As Nike's product line expands,
yeah.
They start experimenting with new technologies,
right.
Including that revolutionary AirSole.
The AirSole. Oh, man. That was a game changer.
It really was, but it's fascinating how Knight initially dismissed the idea.
I know he thought it was too wacky, too complicated.
Yeah. It's crazy to think that even the most visionary leaders can sometimes be resistant to change.
Absolutely. But thankfully, he was open to being persuaded.
Right.
By data and a persistent inventor named Frank Rudy.
Yeah. Makes you wonder how many groundbreaking innovations have been rejected because they seem too outlandish at first.
Oh, like countless.
What crazy ideas are we dismissing today that might revolutionize our industries tomorrow?
That's a question we should all be asking ourselves.
For sure. And of course, not every innovation is a success story.
True.
Remember Knight's tale about the Nike Elite?
Oh, yeah, with the flared heel.
They were supposed to enhance pronation.
Right.
But ended up causing more problems.
Had to recall those.
They did. Big setback. Yeah, but even those missteps, those failures, they're valuable learning experiences.
Totally.
They highlight the importance of testing and iterating and having the resilience to bounce back from setbacks.
Because failure is often just a stepping stone to something better.
I love that.
And as Nike enters the 1980s, they face a new challenge.
What's that?
The rising value of the yen.
Oh, yeah.
Which really throws a wrench in their manufacturing plans.
Of course, makes those Japanese-made shoes a lot more expensive.
So how does Knight navigate this currency crisis? Did he just raise prices?
No, he took a much more strategic approach, diversification.
Sure.
He started exploring manufacturing hubs outside of Japan.
Okay.
Particularly Taiwan and later China.
Wow.
That move was brilliant.
Yeah.
Not just for managing costs, but for tapping into those new markets.
It's like those challenges force us to make changes that ultimately make us stronger.
More adaptable.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And as Nike expands globally,
yeah.
They start signing endorsement deals with some of the biggest names in sports.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy Connors, John McEnroe, and of course the legendary Steve Prefontaine.
Pre.
He became synonymous with the Nike brand.
He did. He embodied that rebellious, push-the-limit spirit that Knight admired so much.
I mean, their relationship was complex.
It was.
A mix of respect and clashes.
Yeah, but Pre's tragic death in 75?
That was tough.
It had such a profound impact on Knight and that entire Nike family.
His legacy continues to inspire the brand even today.
Absolutely.
Really speaks to the power of storytelling.
It does. Knight wasn't just selling shoes, he was selling a feeling, an aspiration.
And that's something that all businesses can learn from.
Absolutely. What's the story behind your brand? What emotions are you trying to evoke in your customers?
Those are powerful questions to think about.
They are.
But of course, success often comes with scrutiny.
It does.
In the 90s, Nike faced intense criticism over its labor practices.
Right. The whole sweatshop label.
A major PR nightmare.
It was a defining moment for Nike.
It was a reckoning with those ethical complexities of globalization.
To Knight's credit, He eventually acknowledged those issues.
He did.
And implemented those sweeping reforms to improve working conditions.
Oh, no.
And transparency in their supply chain.
It was painful, but ultimately necessary.
For sure.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Shoe Dog,
yeah,
what are some of the key takeaways for anyone on their own entrepreneurial journey? What can we learn from Knight's experience?
First and foremost, embrace those crazy ideas.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to chase those seemingly impossible dreams.
Don't be afraid to fail.
Exactly. Find the right partners, the people who share your vision and values.
Your tribe.
That's it. And who challenge you to be your absolute best.
Love it.
Be resourceful. Leverage your network. Don't be afraid to bootstrap.
Get your hands dirty.
That's right. And most importantly, never stop learning, adapting, and innovating.
So important.
It's crucial.
Knight's story is about so much more than just shoes. It's about the power of belief, the relentless pursuit of a dream.
That unwavering spirit of entrepreneurship.
He reminds us that anything is possible if we dare to dream big.
And work tirelessly to make those dreams a reality.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well said.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Shoe Dog.
It's been a pleasure.
We hope you found it insightful and inspiring.
We hope so.
Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and keep chasing those crazy ideas.
We'll see you next time.